This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
What's up, everybody? It's All-Star and World Series champ Nick Swisher here, and I'm stoked to tell you about my new podcast, The Nick Swisher Show, right here on Podcast One. If you know me, you know I've worn a lot of hats in my career, and each one of them has had highs, lows, and a whole lot of learning in between. And that's exactly what I'm bringing to this podcast. You're going to get crazy interviews with athletes from their struggles to their successes and all their unbelievable superstitions along the way. You're going to hear from hometown heroes that are stepping up to the plate and making positive change and influences in their communities. I mean, we've got scientists, coaches, comedians. I'm telling you, whether you're an athlete, a parent, a coach, or just looking for a little energy in your life, then Home Plate is right here. It's old school soul with new school vibes. It's the Nick Swisher Show, coming soon wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what are we talking about in this show?
Well, they're bringing back Bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Bullet.
Bradley Cooper.
7-Up talk. We're getting some movie car.
Some movie car stuff.
70s movie cars. We take a dive into that. And then modern day Lamborghini movie, we talk about the genesis and the concepts and what they're doing and critiquing the new Prius, all that. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, the trip to get on, mandate, get it on. Welcome to CarCast, Van Pearl. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, over there.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, good. How are you doing?
Doing well, yeah. So, trying to get things wrapped up for a little bit of a Thanksgiving break.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Yeah.
I need a pen.
You need a
Somebody
pen that
bring
works.
Bring me a pen. Yeah, I got the pen. I'm going to throw it away.
Throw it away.
Because I usually put it back.
No. There's a trash can right there.
That's right.
Done. Yeah.
All right. What were you guys talking about off the air about new and improved automobiles?
Toyota Prius.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a new Toyota Prius.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. It's still hybrid, right? Because there's still a market for hybrid. It doesn't have to be full EV. It's better. It's more efficient. I think the interior is better. But the automotive media seems to be losing their mind. They're like, it's stunning. It's gorgeous. It's like, it's a new Prius. Is like, and I'm like, it's not stunning. It's better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not stunning. It's not gorgeous. It's just a better Prius. Like, it looks good. Like, we'll find an image of it. We'll put up an image for it. But it's cool. It looks good, and it's an upgrade over what's there, right? But
mm-hmm.
I mean, would you say stunning?
Well, I you know, if it's under 40 grand, then you'd go, that's a pretty good looking car for under 40 grand. If it starts at 27K, that's a pretty nice shape for a car that's under $30,000. You know, I mean, we're getting back to my diamond quilting in the seats theorem.
Yeah, it won't have that.
what I've been saying this entire time is you know, I get the fire-breathing V12 lump and the 7-speed sequential gearbox and shit. Then you want to make all the suspension components out of titanium. That's going to cost money. But I never really did get why the sheet metal couldn't match a car that was more expensive, or even the interior, back to the diamond stitching. You know, right. What's that add? $40 per unit, but it makes and all the car companies caught on. They just went.
Yes, we're definitely seeing that.
They put their head inside a Lamborghini 7 years ago, and they went, well, we can't do a mid-engine V12 and keep it at $46,000, but we can do that diamond shit. Yeah. That's not going to cost anything. Right? Yeah. So they started doing that. And the interiors of formerly cheap cars went up dramatically in like the last 5 years. Like
soft touch materials on the dash and stuff, instead of going, oh, it's expensive to stitch and coat leather, but if we do this fake kind of soft touch padded rubber thing, it's like, oh, it's got a feel, it's got grain to it, it's got a thing, you know.
When you and I were young, the interior of an inexpensive car looked inexpensive, flat out, pure and simple.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, it was still metal. You know, like if you think of your early Mustangs and stuff, you're like, it's metal on the dash with a rubber pad on the top.
The seats, the gauges, the buttons, you know, they all looked pretty shitty. As I always say, the kind of early pioneers to the inexpensive shitbox with the decent interior were like VW Jettas and VW Rabbits. Like they were sort of decent looking inside. Just like take a look at the old school Rabbits or Jettas, just like the emergency blinker button. It was kind of a nice button. It was in the center. The buttons, the gauges, things were a little higher.
Yeah.
Looked a little higher end. Well, now shitbox cars are nice inside. And then the next one is, again, you can't do the V12, but you can shape the sheet metal. Why not give it a better shape? So it's good news for people who are buying their first car and, you know, their budget is $30,000. You get something that looks pretty good and the interior's pretty nice and the thing works out. Also, as we discussed in the past as well, I think we were at the era at the beginning when an electric car and or a hybrid car, they were supposed to look like electric cars and hybrid cars because that was technology. And even though they were a little bit funky town, the rims were always a little bit funky. You know, there was no reason to make the rims funky on an electric car versus a gas-powered car. But they were like, we are an electric car and you're going to know it. Now, and, you know, Audi, Mercedes certainly has led the charge where they're like, we want a beautiful sedan that happens to be electric.
Yeah. Now, we're still pushing those limits. Like, yeah, back in the day, I thought all the future electric cars would look like everything from Demolition Man.
Right, right, right.
You know, but we are finding that the aero of these cars needs to be efficient, and then the wind noise of those cars needs to be drastically reduced. We can't hide, you know, the mirror noise, you know, with an engine. So now you're paying attention to a lot of those things. And surprisingly, though, the aero on the wheels was something that we saw in racing, never cared about on street cars, but is now becoming a factor again with EVs because we're trying to milk every little bit of range out of it. But I don't know why we still don't care on any other car, right? People are going, hey, the new Prius needs to get 50 miles to the gallon, but you can put any wheel you want on it. And we're like, well, I mean, I guess there's – it's funny because the sort of closed-off wheel that always had a hubcap feel to it seemed cheap, and now we're going to hubcaps just for the aero effect.
Right. And they're not hubcaps.
Right. Well, it doesn't have to be a full solid wheel. Like on my Ford Lightning, it's got a big wheel and it's not attractive at all. And yeah, that's a cast wheel. But I'm not sure. Like if you went up on the new Lucid and is that wheel like a cast wheel or is it some sort of combination? Does it have some sort of plastic covers? Because they want to be very lightweight and replaceable.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the stuff is cast, but it would now we'd have to kind of replace the term hubcap with like hub shield or something.
Yeah, yeah. Aero shield.
Which is kind of what's old is new again, because if you take a look at some of those IMSA cars and Trans Am cars from the 80s, the race cars, they'd have that cover.
Right. Like, think of your 935 that had the original finned, you know, cover.
Well, there was the finned, and then there was finned with the front cover, where in the front, especially to try to draw in more air and whatever.
That the GM, like EV1, when that came out long ago, and they were figuring that out, that was like full on skirts on the rear wheels. You couldn't do them in the front because you got to turn. Mm-hmm. But they were like, oh, we're going full aero.
Yeah.
But, you know, with old school kind of skirts on the wheel. So anyway, the Prius was one of the things new at the LA Auto Show. It looks significantly better. I like the interior. It's got gauges in front of you now. There's definitely some upgrades. They say it's going to be more efficient. It's going to be quicker.
What's the range, do they say?
So I don't know, because it's hybrid. So, I mean, it's more about miles per gallon. What do you get miles per gallon in your car, Chris? What do you think?
He can't drive his car because he doesn't have a catalytic converter.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back when you used to drive your car.
It's probably like, I mean, probably like 40, 45.
Yeah, I think the new one, I was told, 50 plus miles per gallon. It's gonna be a noticeable jump.
Yeah, it's a
in
nice
efficiency, but also be quicker all around.
For under 30, it's a nice looking car.
It's gonna have a tiny little, you know, gas engine, you know, to power that the hybrid technology, so you don't have to stop. And there's probably going to be a plug-in hybrid version.
The tiny gas engine is powering the batteries or powering the wheels. And then the next question is does it have the plug-in even though it's hybrid?
Yeah, so I don't know specifically if there's a plug-in hybrid version.
If not, it's coming, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is a plug-in hybrid version of the Prius, but this new Prius, I'm not exactly sure all of how they're going to roll that out. But I don't think there's going to be a full EV version of it, because they've got other things in their lineup that'll be full EV. But it's interesting, and it looks better.
So in other news, Spielberg and Bradley Cooper bringing back Bullet.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring this up. It's obviously, people have been thinking for a long time, why isn't there a remake of Bullet or something Bullet? Now, first the question is, Steven Spielberg and Bradley Cooper are producing. Spielberg wants to direct. He wants Cooper to play the lead role. It's not going to be a reboot. It's going to be based on the characters, but it's not a remake of the original movie. They're not going to redo that. Because one of my questions was the original movie that good?
Nobody knows.
Or was the car chase awesome?
If it was a 70s cop film, it wasn't good. Those movies, you know, the Dirty Harrys and the Magnum Forces and the Bullets and maybe, French Connection was probably better. They had a lot. There's a movie called The Seven Ups.
Okay, with like not Roy, familiar with that.
Roy Scheider in it.
Yeah.
Find the trailer for The Seven Ups. That was another, you know, what they would do is they'd have a cop. He played by his own rules. He argued with everyone, and there was a car chase in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I'd watch that. Just based on that, I'd watch it.
I think the 7-Ups had a car chase where a car slid like under a semi-truck and it took the roof off or something like that. Yeah. They needed like one good move, one good gag, you know, for the trailer. And that'd be kind of enough to get people into the theater. Now, I don't think Bullet was a great film. I'm still pissed that I went and pitched Ford. Ford wanted to do a integration, and they wanted me in it, and blah blah blah. And I came up with this angle. We haven't talked about it in a while, but I just loved it. And the angle was kind of the lost footage from Bullet.
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't know that Steve McQueen had a passenger in that car. And that passenger was an actor who was my dad in the 70s. And we've now have the lost footage of it. Yeah. And it's, you know, me in a big afro wig.
You're playing your dad.
Yeah, and a turtleneck with a black leather jacket. And you know, big medallion hanging around it, the mustache, yeah. you know, and it's just me screaming and hanging on, you know, slow down, slow down, slow down. And then they'd show him like launch over the hill in San Francisco and they'd cut back to me. I'd be upside down in the seat screaming at him, yeah. stop the car. We got his license plate, you know.
Yeah. Why do we keep chasing him? We could just call somebody.
Call the helicopter.
Like, we could do this without. Why do we keep chasing him?
Interstitch, you know, with shots of me trying to drink out of a commuter mug and having it slop all over me, you know, it would have been a funny bit.
Yeah, that would have been great.
And I think it was for Bullitt's 50th year or something.
Yeah, because they brought back the car. They've done a few special editions.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure it wasn't a great movie. I don't know. Chris can also check Bullitt on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sure it wasn't a great film. And I will tell you this.
It's forgetful. Like the
no one remembers any other scene than the car chase.
That's right.
And the car itself is a piece of shit. But I don't think anybody will. We will never be able to recreate the 70s car chase scenes. And the reason we won't be able to do that is because suspension and tires and brakes are like too good now.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have your Fast and Furious like real zoom zoomy stuff. But you'll never get that pitched sideways, chatter in the rear wheels, car leaning hard because it didn't have any kind of suspension on it. Everything was a live rear axle. I mean, the two cars, the Charger, the Challenger, and the Bullitt is 98% of the goddamn critics and 85% of the people, and maybe it was a great movie. Maybe,
I don't even remember.
98% of the yeah. All right.
It's a great car chase scene, and that's what, both, you know, like, is Ronin a really good movie? It's good, but the car chases and the sounds make that good.
Both cars in that scene had live rear axles, bias ply tires, leaf springs and drums in the rear, and no sway bars or anything to be found. So the cars would slide around every corner and lean. And it's like you watch, you know, when I was a kid, I loved the beginning of Starsky and Hutch because the guy had the Gran Torino. And yeah. It was like, you watch it now, that car's going 18 miles around a corner in LA and the guy's pitched it sideways and he's burning out. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like a guy in that Prius would just go right past him. With no chatter, no squeal. He'd be drinking a Starbucks. There'd be nothing. But the body roll itself and the suspension travel and all that kind of stuff, it just made for crazy car chase scenes.
I mean, it would be hilarious if Spielberg's like, we're doing the Dodge Charger Banshee EV versus the Mustang Mach-E EV. And it was a completely quiet JC. There's just a lot of guys bitching in the background.
We have the 7-Up trailer.
All right.
You never heard of this?
No, one. No.
The great Roy Scheider.
All right.
So it already starts with a car.
Car wash.
A Lincoln going through the old school car wash.
When organized crime becomes so clever that the police are forced to take desperate measures, it becomes hard to tell the cops from the killers.
Quick, Bobby! Bobby, get him!
Roy Scheider. In The French Connection, he helped to crack a $32 million dope ring. Now he's back, leading a new team of undercover super cops, even more ruthless than the mob they're gunning for. The 7-Ups. The dirty trick squad that even the regular police are afraid of.
The regular police.
Policeman in your car. I'm hurt bad.
Who shot your car, Mike?
They bust you.
I like the idea that he needs this.
They break you. They make you beg for a nice, safe stretch in prison. 7 years and up.
Who were those guys?
7 years
and
up.
My partner in the back seat of the car.
The guy you iced was a cop.
Okay, so he was a cop.
That guy's the bad guy.
That guy's always the bad guy. Car chase.
Yep.
Now, from the producer of Bullitt and The French Connection.
There you go.
High-speed ride with the strong arm of the law.
The 7-Ups. I told you, body roll.
Oh, my God.
What?
What? Kids flying everywhere.
Oh, the old take the door off gag.
Yeah. Oof.
Is he going to jump a bridge?
You could just start shooting at cars back then if you were a cop. Oh, the hood blow off.
Yeah.
Remember the old hood blow off?
It's a matter of kill or be killed. And once the 7-Ups are on your tail, there's only one way to get them off.
It used to be the shotgun with the hood
the
blowing off.
The producer bullet and the French Connection brings you
here it is.
Ultimate chase.
Oh, the 7-Ups. It's all we needed.
Man, I need to watch that now.
All you needed back then, one good gag. I told you, I was 10 when that shit came out. I never saw it in the theater. I was 9, 8 or 9 when that shit came out. I never saw it in the theater. I still remember that gag where the car, I told you, the car went under semi and got the roof taken off.
Yeah.
That's all you needed back then.
That movie looks fantastic. First of all, you know exactly what the movie's going to be just from watching the trailer. You're like, I get it. I just got to watch 90 minutes of that trailer, and it's going to be awesome.
They used the same stunt coordinator's Bullet. I knew there was some sort of connection between the French Connection and Bullet.
I feel
and
like
the
that
seven
was a
ups.
Small club to be in back in the 70s, right? Like, if you're doing those types of action films, like somebody's jumping around, like a DP or a stunt guy. Like, they're hitting, you know, all of those movies. They're all getting.
Yeah, it's like when you need your lacquer with the patina reproduce, you go find Mr. Cartoon and there's like not many other guys who are going to do that.
Yeah,
and that's what it was. Never heard of the 7-Ups, Roy Scheider. That was action, baby.
I don't know the name of that bad guy with the weird looking face, but he was a bad guy in everything in that era. Like,
I've done a deep dive on that guy before. Yeah. He burned himself badly in the face. He went full Leno. But they didn't have the procedures now to fix him up. So he had like facial scarring. He was an actor who you could tell was a good looking guy, but he had these burns all on his neck and in his face. I think I did a dive on that guy several years ago, and I think it was suicide. That where the burns came from. I don't think
he attempted a suicide.
I don't think it was a thing where it's like, oh, he was messing with his Bunsen burner and it blew up on him, or you know, Jay Leno messing around in the shop. And I think there was a suicide attempt, and he burned his face.
Yeah.
So he had this kind of disfigured face.
Yeah, but kind of like the flat, kind of stretched skin, like they did something.
And then what Hollywood did. And it's the same thing they do with acne scarring. They just go, well, that guy's a bad dude.
That guy's a bad guy now.
Look at his face.
Yeah.
And they just go, he will then be the bad dude in every movie.
It's weird how he got to that point, right? Like,
well, once you get the scarred face, you're out of the leading man category and you're into the heavy. And then once they used to recycle the same guys. The same fat guy would play. If you're a fat guy with a beard, you played a biker in every single sitcom and every Which Way But Loose, every Clint Eastwood movie. Like, you were just
And I know the guy you're talking about specifically.
Yeah, fat guy, biker guy, beard guy.
Yeah.
That's all. They were like, and then, or you could be clean-shaven, bald guy, biker guy. Mm-hmm. There was that guy. There was like four guys who just, this guy was just the I burnt my face guy. So now I'm the bad guy in every movie.
Yeah. Huh.
Richard Lynch burned himself. Richard Lynch was his name.
Okay.
Burned himself on LSD before he was in a movie.
Oh, so maybe not a necessary attempted suicide, but definitely self-induced in a way.
I was like, my memory was kind of going, he burned himself, and then I went to suicide. I forgot about he got high as a kite. But he still got high and like lit himself on fire.
Yeah, well.
Or something.
And then he got a bunch of work.
It's
kind of weird how that
as the
happened.
Evil guy with the burned face. And
he's not still alive.
No,
right?
I think he
died in 2012.
2012,
yeah.
He was like a New York actor guy. I mean, I've never seen pictures of him before the burn face, but I don't know if he tried to kill himself, but he did.
All it says is he set himself on fire.
Well, I'm going correct. I'm checking my box for setting himself on fire.
Listen, if you remembered it, then it's probably something you found in when you were, I don't know, Googling this shit over cocktails one night. Like, I'm trying to figure out why you deep dive this guy. But I would too. I deep dive this guy
because he was every bad guy in every 70s movie. And Starsky and Hutch and every Mannix and every bad guy, this guy was the bad guy, and he was only the bad guy because he had a burnt face.
Yeah, did he work before that? I mean, I'm curious if he had an acting career before that. Had he done anything, or was he a waiter or? Was he a mechanic or something? I'm just kind of curious. Nothing.
He set himself on fire and then he started working.
That's a weird.
Yeah, he ignited his gasoline soaked clothing. But it doesn't say. And then right after that, just started rolling the grass in an effort to smother the flames. What brought Lynch to set himself ablaze? Quote, I was a fool. No, that's not completely true. My dad was a big alcoholic and he died in a tragic way. I was on all kinds of drugs and I pumped every kind of drug into myself. So yeah, just out of
But he sounded like he was in a bad place on drugs. So you're probably right. It was some sort of
I'm going to argue suicide. Unless you're protesting the Vietnam War, when you set yourself on fire, that's a suicide
that's
attempt.
That's a suicide attempt.
I'm going to give myself a correct on
and
that.
And then
one.
He just started working. It's this weird career path, life path.
Yeah.
Just a weird trajectory right there.
He did. I mean, his IMDb has to be crazy of 70s heavies movies. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll let Chris.
But anyway, real quick, you spoke to Jay. He seems to be doing well. Leno's doing better. Mm-hmm. And he's home.
Yeah, he's out.
There's pictures going around. And
he was in Baywatch. He did everything. This guy. He never stopped working.
After he lit himself on fire. I'm curious, how did he die? Was he old? Is this like a
2012 is old enough for a guy who is in his 30s with Roy Scheider in a movie from 1973.
He just, what I'm saying is, it sounds like he just went the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Died of a heart attack.
Maybe he was like 82 or something. I mean, couldn't have been
72.
So he was young when he was with Roy Scheider.
Yeah.
So he started working right after he lit himself on fire. So
so weird.
But look, the fat biker guy with the beard probably didn't work much when he was thin and clean shaven.
Right.
You got to make a move. So how many movies with A-Team, Vegas, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Battlestar Galactica, The 7-Up, Scarecrow, Little Nikita, Bad Dreams, God Told Me to.
Yeah, but like you said,
Starsky and Hutch, TJ Hooker,
every bad
Beretta,
guy in the TV series.
I knew it. I don't know. That's what they do. This guy's a bad guy.
Yeah, every TV show back then that was any sort of action cop-related.
And also, the thing about TV shows back then is, they'd go, the Starsky and Hutch guys would go, let's get this guy to play the heavy. And then someone would raise their hand and go, he was in Beretta's the heavy last week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. That's why we want him. And they go, but that's on another network. And in that one, he was playing a brother who was avenging the death of his sister by mobsters. In this one, you want to make him a drug leader, a drug kingpin from Panama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
It works.
It works. He's the heavy in everything.
The other guy that always pops in my head of the similar character, and I don't remember his name, but you'll probably remember him. He was in The Untouchables. He was a bad guy, and he had the white suit that I think Kevin Costner threw off the roof toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that guy, you'll be like, oh, I've seen that guy. He probably was in all the same TV shows and in Chuck Norris movies as a bad guy. He might have been in this guy here.
Yeah, you had to have a thin, evil face.
Yeah.
That would get you a long way. Or acne scarring. You could just have scarring from zits from when you're in high school.
Unless you're Edward James Olmos.
Yes, he managed to break free.
He was a good guy.
So they're bringing back Bullet, but it's not going to be Bullet, but who cares?
But it was just kind of like, this had to have been in the making for a long time. Like, why hasn't been this Hackman hasn't been done before? There's so many guys that could have done this back in the 80s, right? You could have, you know, anyone from a Stallone, a Mel Gibson, like you know, Bruce Willis.
We're on a weird long game with a lot of this stuff, whether it's Freddie Mercury or yeah. Bullet or whatever. Like, you would think that the follow-up would happen 5 years later or 3 years after the comedian died or 3 years mm-hmm. after the lead singer died or something. And it's like, it's 30 years.
Yeah, and more.
This is 50 years.
Yeah, it was based on a book. The movie was based on a book, and you never know what's going on with like people's estates and who owns what. And
yes,
and
there's always that.
How do you get rights to this and that? There's a lot of that type of arguing.
Andy Kaufman was gone for like 25 years before. It's just a super long game.
Right. Now, I also read that Chad McQueen and I think his sister are going to be executive producers on the film, but which was weird to me because I was like, other than Steve McQueen being in the film, was he an owner of the film? Was he a producer of the film? You know, like, who owned the film? Like,
are you talking about
yeah,
the
like
McQueen
why,
estate?
Why does Chad McQueen and the sister need to be EPs? I mean, it's great. It's fine. And
well, right.
It makes some money. But
let me explain Hollywood to you. Unlike construction sites, like I worked on construction sites for years and years and years. There were carpenters, there were laborers, and then there were subs. And, you know, so you'd be framing and the electrician would be pulling wire, running flex or whatever. They'd be behind you. You'd put the ceiling joists in. They'd start putting roughing in the can lights and stuff like that. And then when they were done, the drywallers would show up. But everyone had something to do. Hollywood would be like a construction site where there were like three or four guys working and like 86 guys just sitting around.
Yeah.
Fucking talking shit.
Those are all the EPs.
Just doing nothing.
Those are all the executive producers.
Yeah, and you can do whatever you want. You just go make that guy an EP and then we'll have the name on it.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the McQueen name on it.
We'll have
and
them then, do a bunch of press maybe
and
later.
And then, yeah, we'll put them out there and they'll go, it's blessed by the family. And then they'll do a bunch of stuff like my dad would have been proud, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. And we don't care. It doesn't really cost us anything. Like every agent and every manager becomes an EP of every fucking TV show. And the reason they become a EP, an executive producer, whatever, associate producer, junior producer, like whatever the fuck, these titles don't mean anything. The reason they are is so the talent doesn't have to pay them.
Right. They'll get their money from the studio or production
company,
you go, or whatever.
William Morris, you guys, Mark Itkin, Howard Lapides, you guys be EP over on Loveline or The Man Show, and then I'll keep my 10% or 15% or what I was going to give to you. You can get out of the budget.
Right, right.
So now you got all these non-writing producers just showing up. The guys who do all the work, like Kevin Hench, hate these fuckers. Because not only do they not do anything...
Yeah.
Some of them feel compelled to show up and kind of pretend like they're doing something. So they don't do anything like all week. And then they show up for the run through on Friday and they sit in the bleachers and then they come down and they put in their 2 cents and they're never fucking funny and they've never contributed anything. And it bugs the shit out of the people that were there, you know, till 3 a.m. in the writer's room. Getting notes from the network.
It'd be way better if they didn't show up at all. Or if they just sat there and they go, good job. See you next week.
they usually show up on tape day and eat.
Yeah.
They like when you break for lunch, they're in front of you. Because you're on the stage working and they're standing around craft service. So then when you break for lunch, they're in front of you in line. Even though they pulled up 20 minutes ago.
Get paid to eat.
It's awesome. So... they don't need the McQueen, but they don't really pay them anything. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So they just throw them this fucking unlimited bone of, we can make I can make my fucking dog EP.
And listen, what you hope is they get to do the rounds on the PR, and then they start to start licensing and selling a bunch of memorabilia and stuff like that, and
yeah,
and make some on the back end. All right. So the question though is this: should, forget about the bad guy portion of it, that's a different issue. But should the new bullet, should the new lead be in an old car or a new car? Should be, should he be rolling out in the Highland Green 2023 Ford Mustang Dark Horse, or should they get him back in the, you know, into the old Mustang?
The 69, 68 fastback, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of got that Fast and Furious Vin Diesel pulling the Charger or right, the Challenger. I'll never know, out of the fucking,
yeah,
pulling the tarp off the thing.
Yeah, that's
I think Charger. I think you need the pull the tarp scene.
Yeah. So maybe he's not always driving it in the movie, but there's a point where he drives it in the movie.
You're, yes, right. I think they, you know, I think you have to have the scene where the city of San Francisco has required all municipal vehicles to be electric, and our star's like struggling with it, where it's like he runs, yeah, out of battery in the middle of it. He's chasing someone and the thing runs out of battery and there's no charging station and whatever. And the guy gets away again.
It'd be great if they both had to stop and they just put their chase on hold so they, yeah, charge up, have quick a burger, charge, get back in the car. And
yeah, there's fast that charge scene.
At a Target,
and then there's
lot,
the scene early in Act 3 where in slow motion he pulls the parachute, yeah, off the thing. And he turns the lights on in the garage, and they make noises when the lights come on. Tink, tink, mm-hmm, tink. You know, like lights in the stadium, and they go clunk, clunk, clunk. You know, yeah, they pull it off.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, these things are terrible.
And there it is.
These lights are,
and
terrible,
even though it's been sitting since his dad died,
yeah,
all the tires are inflated, and it cranks right and up, catches on the first
and
turn.
The paint is
everything's
nice,
perfect. It's perfect. Boom, and he just perfect, fires it. Yeah, that's, yeah, the scene.
He's been banned from the racing circuit for life.
That's right. All right, what else going on in the car world?
A little bit about the LA Auto Show. As we pointed out in the other episodes, you know, with Goldberg and stuff, we talked about how noticeably absent has been a lot of the big luxury brands. They, I don't know, maybe they just don't want to spend the money. They're not feeling the need, but the BMWs, Audis, Jaguar, Land Rover, Maseratis, like there's a, you know, bunch of these brands that are Cadillac, you, mm-hmm, know, weren't really there. And the lay of the land was a bit different. It was more experiential, like, mm-hmm, all of Stellantis, the whole Jeep and thing going on. It was,
what's,
it was
Stellantis?
That's the parent company for Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and,
oh,
Alfa,
okay,
Maserati.
Where are they out of?
Well, they still have a they're a European company, but
right.
They had just like driving courses and all kinds, mm-hmm, of stuff, and take, mm-hmm, the Jeep up on the fake rocks and, mm-hmm, and do a bit of that. But Genesis to me kind of stole the show. Now the whole family of vehicles, Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis, was kind of interesting. Genesis brought out this concept car. I think it's called the X. They brought out this convertible. It's really gorgeous. It's a great design, great line,
beautiful,
to it. The interior is fantastic. The wheels really, really stand,
beautiful,
out.
Yeah.
And this thing just got a lot of attention. And it really kind of shows how Genesis is one of the brands that really positioned themselves as a viable luxury vehicle. And right now where, you know, with inflation and things – kind of, we're kind of watching our money in our pocket. This is now becoming a badge of honor of, you know, going, oh, I didn't get the Mercedes, I got the Genesis. This is the smart move. This, mm-hmm, is the more cost-efficient luxury move.
Yeah.
You know, this thing was cool. And then the new vehicles that they were rolling out, especially the EVs, it's going to be interesting. It's going to make a play. We talked about the Prius as well. That's going to be a big seller.
Yeah, Genesis is really knocking it out of the ballpark. They just are. I see them on the street. We've talked about them in the past. I like these stories. I don't have any particular allegiance to Genesis. I like it when a company can say, here's what we're going to do. It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in 3 years, but it's going to happen. And we're going to, yeah. And you know what Genesis has done is they've really stayed the course. They're like, we want a design to look sleek and modern and sort of robust. Their stuff doesn't look tinny or light. It looks strong. You know, when you see that, it's sort of that model, like when Audi does an SUV or Mercedes does an SUV or Bentley or Lamborghini, they look sort of stout. They look muscular, but they look nimble too.
Right, right.
And Genesis kind of, they kind of just followed along. They just went like, we want to look modern and sleek, but also kind of muscular. And they've just been hitting it out of the ballpark. And also, you know, memories are short. And it's like, I got a couple of 16-year-olds. They don't know what the fuck a Genesis started as. Mm-hmm. They don't know where they're from. They don't know the difference between this and that. All they know is, you know, in a few years, if they want to get a luxury vehicle, they're just going to go, I like this one. That's it.
Yeah. And the overall direction of the company, you're spot on. You're like, this is where we want to be in 5 years or 10 years. This is where we want to compete with. And then they started pulling, you know, they've started poaching people like a designer from Lamborghini and Volkswagen.
I'm looking at this concept vehicle, and that's the first thing I said is they must be grabbing guys they must be headhunting. They're cherry picking.
Not only are they grabbing guys, designers and BMW suspension engineers, but they're letting them do what they need to do.
Right.
They're not bringing them in and going, now do it my way. They're right. Like, how should we do this? How do we get this? How do we compete? You've been a suspension engineer at BMW for 20 years.
Yeah.
How do we make a Genesis compete with a 3 Series? And they're like, oh, I know how.
Right.
Right? So they're hiring these guys and they're letting them do what they need to do. And look at the product they're turning out.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. I kind of like seeing that. And although they're a big company, they kind of treat it like a small company.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. So
where are they physically manufactured?
Korea.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're just hitting it out of the ballpark.
They had a big presence there. They were winning the awards. Their big sedan was gorgeous. There's a few models where the big grill doesn't quite work for me, but they're doing a good job. And they're doing interesting things with the other brands. Like for Hyundai, instead of like going, hey, BMW, this is your design. Now make it small cars, make it big cars, make it SUVs, you know, but that's your design.
Right.
For Hyundai, they're like, oh, we can mix it up. The Ioniq 5 and the Ioniq 6 that we mentioned on the show with Alistair Weaver is like completely different designs. Basically kind of similar underpinnings, but completely different designs. One's all sharp and edgy. It's got a fighter jet look. The other's got this kind of Mercedes CLS look to it. So not everything has to look the same just because you're the same brand, right? Like here's the Ioniq 6. And then if you find a picture of an Ioniq 5, the Ioniq 6 is interesting. I just don't like the way it swoops down on the back. So the design isn't the best, but
the rims are a little funky.
A little funky.
I'll tell you the one thing about that Genesis is fantastic looking rims.
That's on that concept car.
You don't see good rims that often. But the reality is all you have to do is go back and look at some BBS shit, some vintage BBS shit, and kind of go, and even some newer BBS stuff and go, that's kind of where we want to be.
Yeah.
Which this has shades of BBS in it.
And it does. And it has a little bit, sort of the modern take on it would be, what if we could 3D print a wheel? Like if BBS was 3D printing a wheel now, what would be sort of the modern take on it? And I think you end up with something like this.
Chris, you can look up Lamborghini the movie, which I saw on pay-per-view the other night. And I'll get into in a second. First, I'll tell you about BetterHelp, the show. Sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. There's no user manual for life when yours isn't working. It's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause and learn productive coping skills. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists, convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere. 100% online. Look, everyone, if the last few years have taught us anything, it's that you got to get your head right before you can get on with the rest of life. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. They'll match you with a therapist. If things aren't exactly clicking, it's easy to switch a therapist to a new therapist anytime. No waiting rooms, traffic, or endless search for the right therapist. It's BetterHelp, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/CarCast. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CarCast.
So I watched Lamborghini, the man behind the legend. Frank Grillo is a friend of mine now, starred in it. And he did a nice job because Frank Grillo's good.
I like his movies. He's done good stuff.
He's a really cool dude. Talked to him a lot. Gabriel Byrne is Enzo Ferrari. It was at zero on Rotten Tomatoes when I looked it up. It's now, I guess, up to 11%. With the critics and 25 with the people.
I didn't even know this came out. Like, I heard about it and I didn't know it was out already. Like, where is it?
It was just popped up on my pay-per-view satellite thing and it said Lamborghini. And I was like, oh, I'm clicking this.
Yeah.
I got to see it. And, you know, I was know very much Lamborghini and kind of enjoyed it from a historical standpoint, but not a great film.
Not a great film.
No.
Okay. That's kind of why nobody knew about it.
Filled in a few nuts and bolts. I got to say, I'm surprised it popped up to 11. Must have got like one good review.
Well, there's a friends and family factor.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, someone gave it a 3 out of 5.
One person.
Yeah, there's 9 reviews, one person, yeah.
All right, so what happened was I saw it 2 days ago, and that one person didn't give it a 3 out of 5. And who's that, Tony Buccellini from Tuscany? Oh, is that Aldo Celli?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
So not a great film, but...
Frank's good in it. Not a good film.
Gabriel Byrne's a good actor. They were
fine. It wasn't a good film. But Frank was good. It just wasn't. I don't know. The budget, it looked kind of slapped together. It had this... It just wasn't good. But...
Did it have any good cars in it?
It had a 350 in it and a Miura at the end with the wrong rims in the back.
Early on in production, Antonio Banderas was supposed to play Lamborghini, and Alec Baldwin was confirmed to play Enzo Ferrari.
I don't know what the budget was for this thing, but something...
They couldn't get those guys.
Something happened. They ran out of money.
Those were two expensive guys.
They had this whole scene where a Countach was in like almost a dream sequence or something, was going up against... But they used a Ferrari... Mondial.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so they had this Ferrari Mondial that Enzo was driving, and they had this Countach that Lamborghini was driving, and that the Mondial was like whooping up on him the whole time. That car's just a straight up slug. I mean, that car's the Mondial. You picturing the Mondial?
Yeah, no, I know it because I saw Weird Science.
Yeah, you could find that all day long for $41,000 on Bring a Trailer. Like the Mondial's 0 to 60 8 seconds or something. I mean, that thing's just a flat out slug. And so him in the Lambo. Are going at it.
We got a little clip here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look at the clip.
They're going at it, but the Mondial's not going to keep up with the Countach.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But you're right. Like, you get Alec Baldwin and Antonio Banderas. You attach them to the film. They shop it around. They see if you get the funding. You don't get the funding. Now you got to go step down. Yeah.
Sorry, there.
It's interesting because they're like, oh, we need a Countach and it can't be red because the Ferrari's red.
Right.
And then they come up with blue.
Yeah. I think they said we need two late 80s, a Ferrari late 80s and a Lambo late 80s. But the Ferrari late 80s with the Mondial was like, ugh. What was the Mondial? This, before we leave, horsepower on the Mondial, Ferrari Mondial, 87, I don't know. Horsepower, we're going to take a guess, and we'll go 0 to 62. You want me to go first?
Yeah. Yeah, you go first.
At a V8.
Let's see. Yeah.
Mid-80s, later 80s, 85, 86. I'm going to go in the horsepower department. I'm going to go 187.
Okay.
And I'll go 0 to 60 in 7.7.
Okay, I was a little more optimistic. I don't know why these numbers popped into my head, but I had 243 horsepower and 6.1 0 to 60.
All right.
So in 1981, the Mondial 214 horsepower and 0 to 60 in 8.2.
Ooh.
Wow, 8.2.
That was 81. Was what? There an 82?
Yeah, the next year it went up to 240 horsepower and 6.4.
Oh, okay. Okay. Close.
Yeah.
But I was like,
then
pretty
did it
much
go
there.
Down again?
No, it went up the next, after that, the next version, 6.3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the next version, 5.6.
Ooh, that kept going.
And then
all right.
The horsepower is what, up to 270 something?
It went
like
up
that?
To 300.
All right, so they kept up.
Three wasn't in my head. I was 243 and 6.1. I think it's right.
The first year was 8.2, 0 to 60.
I can't believe Ferrari would ever release something. Here's a question for you, real quick. Is it an interesting jumping off point for a hot rod? Like, you want to.
No.
Like, do you cut it up a little bit and try to make it fast?
I'd give it to the Ring brothers, but I don't think they could. There's nothing there for me. Not a good shape. All right. Tucson, Rialto Theater, December 15th. Doing stand-up there and then off to the Tempe, Arizona to go to the Tempe Improv December 16th and 17th. Going to be in Philly January 6th and 7th at Dallas with John Popper. January 20th, 21st. Yeah. You reserve your spots. Just go to amcroll.com and check it out. It's going to be a fun weekend. What do you got?
I'm still posting some photos from the LA Auto Show, so if you guys want to check those out, it's follow me on Motorator.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare, and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com, and don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Get around for Halloween with Pluto TV's 31 Nights of Horror. All month long, Pluto TV is bringing you the best Halloween movies, shows, and more. Watch classic horror movies like The Grudge or The Blair Witch Project, or scream along with your favorite stars like Ryan Reynolds in Life. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. The best part, it's so free, it's chilling. No credit card, no sign up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start screaming now.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.